As we go through life, we can have a variety of relationships with other people. With one person, we might have a casual relationship. With another individual, we might say we are in a close relationship. Someone might say we have a distant relationship. Another person might say this is a hateful relationship. There are some relationships which are based on work. There are relationships which might be a short-term relationship, or maybe there's a long-term relationship. Society speaks of codependent relationships. We also find sometimes independent relationships. A relationship may be submissive. There may be dominance in a relationship. The word rebound is applied to relationships. Most of us have heard about a toxic relationship. When we begin to look at all the types of relationships that we and others can have in the world, the number of relationships, the type of relationships that we can experience is almost staggering. In the Bible, there is some information about relationships. In fact, there is at least one word which we might say is a relationship word when it comes to God. This word is used more than 70 times in the New Testament. And in one of the places where it occurs, it's applied to elders. This is Titus chapter 1, verse 8. We have been for a while studying the qualifications given for elders, and now we look at one more today, this one being on Titus chapter 1, verse 8. Depending in the translation that you have, there should be a word there in Titus 1:8 which is translated just, or some other versions might translate it righteous. This is an important word in the New Testament, and it is a word which we want to study. And as I said, it is a relationship word. That word that's translated just, or sometimes it may be translated righteous, it means that a person is in a right relationship with God. Now, this fact should not surprise us. We would expect that an elder would be in a right relationship with God. So it makes perfect sense for Paul in Titus 1 verse 8 to use this term as he describes the qualifications for elders. When we look at the information that we have about elders, we know that it is somewhat limited in the New Testament. The qualifications, Titus 1, 1 Timothy chapter 3. And there are a few other passages in the Bible that talk about elders, but we certainly don't find 70-some references in the Bible, the New Testament, to elders. Thus, as we deal with this word, we would naturally expect that there are going to be some places where it is not applied to elders, and we want to consider some of those places today. One of the verses where we find this word translated just or righteous is early in the New Testament. In fact, the first chapter, Matthew chapter 1. Now, you may remember from Matthew chapter 1 that we have some information about Joseph and Mary. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, we find Joseph being described by the same word that's used in Titus chapter 1, verse 8. Joseph was not an elder, of course. That position didn't exist prior to the establishment of the church. But the Bible says that Joseph was a just man. He was a righteous man. Well, let's go back and think about what that means. The definition that we gave for it is that a person is in a right relationship with God. That's what the Bible says about Joseph. And you see that righteousness, that just nature, demonstrated in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Joseph was doing these things, treating Mary, even though he thought that she was guilty of wrongdoing. He was treating Mary in a good way, in a positive way, in a just, in a righteous way. Seeing this word applied to Joseph is not surprising. If God were to send his son into the world today, what kind of person would he select to use as the vehicle? Would he select an unjust and unrighteous person? Would he choose an evil person? Would he choose someone who was not in a right relationship with him? Oh, no. No to all those questions. God would want someone who is in a right relationship with him, and that's why he used Joseph about 2,000 years ago. Now, some have the idea that God loves everybody, and that's true, but with that love, that simply means that he's going to accept people pretty much however they want to come to him. Doesn't matter what we do. The Bible says that part of the idea is false. If you have your outline, you'll probably notice that the next place that we find this word as far as today's study comes from the book of Matthew. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. Here is a passage where Jesus speaks about rain. And the Lord says that God sends rain. God not only sends rain, the Bible says he sends rain on the just. That's the same word that we find in Titus 1, verse 8. He also sends rain on the unjust. Now, I point out this passage to show that the Bible makes a distinction between the just, the people who are in a right relationship with God, and at the same time, Jesus affirms there are some people who are not in a right relationship with God. We can be among the just or among the unjust. And there may be some blessings from God that fall on the just and the unjust, but at the end of the day, God still says there is a distinction between these two people. Now, if we want to be on the side of the just, we can be helped perhaps in life by some things like rain. But when it comes to eternity, the unjust are not going to receive any blessings from God. The just, however, and we're going to do a little reading from this chapter in Matthew chapter 13. The just, however, the people who are in a right relationship with God are destined for a big, big surprise. The word that we're talking about from Titus chapter 1 verse 8 is used a few times in Matthew chapter 13. We want to look over here and first read what we find in Matthew chapter 13 verse 43. In Matthew chapter 13 verse 40, to give you a little bit of the context, the Lord is talking about the end of the world. Verse 42. It's here that Jesus says when the world ends, the unsaved are going to be in a wrong relationship with God. They're not going to be among the just. And because of that, they're going to be cast into a furnace of fire. In contrast to the unjust, here is what the Bible says will be true for those who are just, those who are in a right relationship with God. Then the Lord said, shall the righteous, that's that word just, Titus 1 verse 8, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Those just elders, Titus 1 verse 8, when we take that fact, that detail, and we tie it in with Matthew chapter 13 verse 43, the Bible says that those just elders will shine like or as the sun throughout eternity. That's a great promise. But you know that promise is not limited to those who serve as elders. That promise can be fulfilled to the same degree, the same extent, when it comes to people who never serve as an elder or can't serve as an elder. Sometimes Christians look at their faith, and at the end of the day, maybe it's been a trying day, a trying week, they look at their faith, and they wonder, is it really worth it? I've been living as a Christian for a while, and at the end of the day, it's been such a long, hard road. I'm not sure it's worth it. Maybe the better life, maybe the better way is to live as an unjust person. If you've never had that thought, one day you might. If you have had that thought, let me encourage you, if you turn over to Matthew chapter 13, to skip down six verses and see what we find in the 49th verse here. Jesus says, so it shall be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth. And those angels, Jesus said, they're going to sever the wicked from among the righteous or the just. Now we've already established from Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, that there are just people, those who are in a right relationship with God, and those who are not just or in a right relationship with God. They both get rain and some other blessings. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. But now the Lord says, look ahead a little bit. Think about this from the standpoint or the perspective of eternity. There is going to be an end of time, and the Lord said when time ends, there will be a separation between the just and the unjust. The just will shine like the sun, Matthew 13, verse 43. The unjust are not going to fare so well. So as we look at Matthew chapter 13, the encouragement to us is continue to live the Christian life. Not always easy, not always pleasant, not always something that we might be too enthused about for some reason, but the Lord says this is a choice that we will not regret, and we will not regret it for eternity. Now, when it comes to being a just person, it is possible to appear to be just, but that's not really the case. This word that we're looking at is sometimes used to describe a faker. Sometimes it's used to describe a pretender, someone who looks just, but isn't. Turning over to the passages that we're looking at, let's go just a little more deeply into the book of Matthew. Let's take a look and see what we find from Matthew chapter 23. As we look at the 23rd chapter of Matthew, again, to give you a little bit of the context, you have beginning in Matthew chapter 23, verse 13, some information about the scribes and the Pharisees. These fellows were, in many respects, pretenders, so Jesus pronounced a woe on them. In fact, he says to these men, at least several of them, you are hypocrites, you're pretenders. He offers several woes, even calling them blind fools. And as you move through this chapter, you finally get down to the information in Matthew 23, verse 28. Here Jesus said, and he uses this same word that's found in Titus chapter 1, verse 8. He said, even so ye also outwardly ye appear righteous unto men, but inwardly ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Jesus said, I'm talking about righteousness. I'm talking about being in a right relationship with God. You appear. It seems like, it looks like you are in a right relationship with God when others look at you. The way that they dressed, where they went, what they said. They gave all the indications that they were righteous people. But the Lord knew the hearts of these men, these scribes and the Pharisees, and he said, it's a lie. It's a fake. You're putting on a show. You are not righteous. even though that's how many perceive you to be. If we are going to be in a right relationship with God, a righteous person, if we're going to shine like the sun, Matthew chapter 13, verse 43, we've got to be genuine. There can't be any faking it. Now, as we look at life, there are some excellent fakers. I've not met many over the years who have professed to be Christians, but they were fakers, but there have been a few. Some know what to say, they know what to do, and they know when to do it. It's almost like they're the perfect pretender. But the Bible says that we can't fake righteousness. We can't fake being a just person. We might fool everybody in the world. We might fool the closest members of our family. But at the end of the day, God says, I know. And that's the only one who counts. Now, at this juncture in our study, someone might be thinking in their mind, well, I understand what the word just means. I can even understand the significance of the word just. But I need some help. What must I do? How can I be a just person? What's necessary for me to be in a right relationship with God? This is a great question. And as we study this word, the Bible, with this word, answers it. Still following along, let's move a little more deeply into the New Testament, over and out of the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, once again, provide a little bit of the background here. Luke is talking about two people. He's talking about a couple. They'd been married for at least a little while. They'd hoped to have a baby, and so far that desire had not been fulfilled. One day, though, they did have a baby enter into their lives, a baby by the name of John the Baptist. That was what they named him. And Luke, as he describes the parents, he uses this same word that's applied to elders in Titus chapter 1, verse 8. Let's see Luke 1, verse 6. And they, that would be John the Baptist's parents, Zacharias and Elizabeth, and they were walking both righteous before God. There's that word. They were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord. They were blameless. Well, if you like marginal notes, you could put here, Luke chapter 1, verse 6, righteous, same word that we have applied to elders in Titus chapter 1, verse 8. John the Baptist, he had parents who were in a right relationship with God. Now, how did they get in that state? If we can figure out what made this couple righteous, we likely can take that information, apply it to our lives today, and then the result will be that we are also righteous. The Bible answers the question as to how this couple became righteous in the verse just read. John the Baptist's parents, get it from the text. The Bible says they walked, they lived in how many of the commandments? All the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord. If we want to be a righteous person, if an elder wants to be a just man, what's he going to do? He's going to be doing his best to follow the commandments, the ordinance, the instructions of God. If, on the other hand, we want to be like the unjust, Matthew 5, verse 43, the people who are going to be cast into the furnace of fire at the end of time, Matthew chapter 13, we ignore some, or we set aside all of what God has said. Now, before we leave this verse, Luke 1, verse 6, let me add a quick thought. This just couple, husband and wife, they were both righteous. They prayed. Their prayer was answered, and it was answered in a marvelous way. Sometimes I deal with people, and sometimes we perhaps all have contact with someone who says, well, I've prayed. I go to services, and I do this, and I do that, and I pray, and it just doesn't seem like God is answering my prayer. Why not? What's the problem? Well, there could be several things going on, but let me at least suggest this as one possibility. It's not the only possible reason, but it is one. If we're praying, and we're not trying to live a just, a righteous life, a life which is in harmony with the express will of God, might it be that our prayer is not going to be answered? Here's a just couple. They prayed. They had to pray for a long time. And at the right time, God answered their prayer in the way that they had asked. They were given a child. When we think about a right relationship with God, it might not be a just relationship. Our relationship with God, regardless of how we see it, heaven's view is, it is not a right relationship. Might not it be possible for us to have a casual relationship with God? We know that kind of relationship can exist in the world. Might we try to apply that same kind of thing in the spiritual realm? There are long-distance relationships in the world. Might not a person try to apply that same kind of idea to God? Might not a person say we want to have a limited relationship with God, we want to have a short-term relationship with God? Don't expect to have a long-distance relationship with God and do very well in any way, especially when it comes to prayer. When this information about God is considered, a person might have something else go through his or her mind. Well, okay, I can understand all that stuff about righteousness, and I can understand Luke chapter 1, verse 6, what's necessary to become a just or a righteous person, but it sounds so hard. I mean, it sounds like it's going to be work to be a just person. I think that most people would probably fail if they try to do that. What does the Bible say when it comes to the possibility of being a righteous or a just person? Is it all that difficult? Well, let's answer that question by another passage that uses this word just. You may remember a little story that Jesus gave in Luke chapter 15. The Lord says there was a fellow who had some sheep. The number of sheep possessed by this man was 100. The Lord, as he talks about this man and the flock that he had, he said that one sheep left the flock. And this fellow, he leaves the 99. Do you remember how the 99 sheep are described? They are the righteous. They are the just. That is that same word that's used in Titus chapter 1, verse 8, when Paul is talking about elders. Now think about the image there. We usually don't use this chapter and that teaching in this way, but it is a legitimate use of that passage. Jesus says there was one that went away. There was, in other words, one that was unrighteous. The majority, the 99, were righteous. Somebody comes along today and says, well, I just think righteousness is too hard. The Lord says that's not true. One left, but there were 99, the majority. Almost every part of the majority decided to be righteous. So it is possible for us. It's not as hard. The devil would like us to believe it's hard, it's impossible, it just can't be done. But that's not what we find from the Lord. Somebody says, well, okay, tell me a little bit more about this righteousness, all right? If we want to live in that way, where we are in a right relationship with God, do you know the Bible says we're going to make some judgments? One of the common things that we often hear about in today's world is judgments. Oh, don't make judgments. You're too judgmental. You just need to be more tolerant. The world has convinced many people who are not Christians to not make judgments. Stop making moral judgments. Stop making biblical judgments. And the world has exerted such force that sometimes even God's people have backed off making judgments. Well, you know, that's not my thing. I wouldn't do it in that way, but everybody does what they think is best or right. There is a verse in the Bible which talks about the fact that righteous people make judgments. And that verse, and it has that same word that's found in Titus chapter 1, verse 8, is John 7, verse 24. There the Lord said, don't judge according to appearance. But the Lord says you make judgments which are righteous. Judge righteous judgment. When we thus think about this word righteous, it is associated with judgment. It is possible, it is right to make judgments if those judgments are based on righteousness. We know as we look at God that the Bible describes him as a righteous God. Jesus referred to the Father as righteous in John 17, verse 25. Same word there that we have in Titus chapter 1, verse 8. If the Father is righteous, he's given us his righteous word, then when we use that word as a basis to make judgments, we will make righteous judgments, John chapter 7, verse 24. So as we go through life and people talk about something and we look at it, we know it's wrong because of the Bible, don't hesitate. Don't pause to make a judgment. It is right. Righteous people make righteous judgments. Unrighteous people don't make judgments, or certainly do not make righteous judgments. Another passage where we find this word that's worthy of mention. This one is found in the book of Philippians. Now, if you were to turn over in your Bible to Philippians chapter 4, you might find that you have some marginal notes. This is that passage which is familiar to a lot of people. It's here that Paul told the Philippians, I want you to think about some things. I want you to meditate on some things. Paul said, I want you to think about what's true. And I want you to concentrate on what's honest. Let's think about what is pure and what's lovely and what's of good report. And let's think about what has virtue and praise. All those items are listed in Philippians chapter 4, and you probably will find them in just verse 8. But if you were to compare the list that I just gave with what your Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, you'd find that I left out a word. I intentionally left out the word just. You should see the word just, righteous, or something else in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And that word, however it's translated, righteous, just, something similar, it is that exact same term that we find in Titus chapter 1, verse 8. What does that mean? Paul was telling the Philippians, among all the other items that we mentioned about, he said, I want you to think about, I want you to meditate on as you go through your Christian life, being in a right relationship with God. That's a powerful statement. We could just take that one point and think on that for the next week. Paul said, I want you to think about what God requires from you as you go through your daily life. Now imagine what some Christians and some congregations would be like if they applied Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Imagine if a person is thinking in terms of church attendance. What does God require of me when it comes to attendance? I believe there's some places where the pews would be full. Imagine the effect on worship when it comes to asking this question. We enter into the building for Bible study. We come into the building for worship. We come into the building for fellowship, whatever it might be. And the question on our mind is this question of the word just or justice. What does God require of me? What's necessary for me to be in a right relationship with God? Ask that question when the Lord's Supper is passed. What does God require of me? What's necessary now as I partake of the Lord's Supper to be in a right relationship with God? Think about that in terms of our prayers, how we respond to the teaching that's given, the giving of our means. Imagine parents and children who ask, what does God require of me? What is God's will for me in this home? What is God's will for me? How am I going to fulfill God's role for my life as I go to school or go to work? Or as I serve as a husband, as a wife, whatever the relationship might be. When we start to think about what all is involved with that little word just, four letters, but a powerful word, in Titus chapter 1, verse 8, we begin to see just how important it is. The Lord, same word, is a righteous judge, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. And as a righteous judge, he's going to judge our relationship with him. For those who seek to be just, the Bible says, if we will abide by what this word means, we'll seek to be in a right relationship with God. You know what the Bible promises in return? God says, if you will seek to be a just man, a just woman, a just young person, the eyes of the Lord will be on you. That's a positive thing. God will watch over, help, look out for, and aid you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. That's a great promise, and it's all based on that word, being in a right relationship with God. Just, righteous. This word describes what we literally must have if we want to spend eternity in heaven. If the Lord were to judge us this very moment, we don't even make it out the door. End of time comes. Judgment day has arrived. Would God find us as a just person? Someone who is in a right relationship with him. And that means, as we have already seen from Luke chapter 1, verse 6, we're trying to obey him in all things. Do as we go through life, meditate on the will of God. We're trying to be a just person, an individual who is in a right relationship with God every single day. Unless we're someone who is not accountable because we're too young, there are one of two things that would be true of us today. We are either just, we're following the will of God. The other conclusion is that we're not just. We're not following the will of God. Those are two very different lives, two very different roads. And they lead, as we saw from Matthew chapter 13, to two very different places. One road, a furnace of eternal fire. The other road, shining like or as the sun for eternity. And we get to choose. Are we someone who is just? Not that we're a perfect person, but we're trying to follow and fulfill the will of God. Somebody says, I just don't know. I look at my life and I'm just not at a point where I understand where I'm at. Well, let's let the Bible answer. Do we believe in Christ? Someone says, well, yes, I do. That's not enough to be just. Someone else says, well, I'm sorry for the way that I've lived. I'm sorry for the things I've done which are contrary to God's law, and I want to change my life for the better. You're on the road to being a just person, but you need a couple more stops. With that faith, with that repentance, confessing that Christ is the only way that we can become just. We're baptized into him. Galatians 3:27, so every sin can be washed away. Acts 2, verse 38. We arise, the Bible says, to walk in newness of life. Why is our life new? It's new because we've now become a just man, a just woman, a just young person. And then we continue to walk in the light, as John described in 1 John chapter 1, so that we remain a just person. Not flawless, not perfect, but we're doing our best to follow the will of God, just as John's parents did. If we're not living in that way, we have to be, if we're accountable for our actions, on the other side of the fence. And that means that we are not a just person. And God says, you can't be in a right relationship with me. This morning, where are we at? Just? Unjust? If we're on the side of the just, we want to make sure that we stay in that place. If we're on the side of the unjust, we surely know. And we can correct that now. We'd like to help you correct that now as we stand and sing the selected song.